Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
A very good evening to you. Welcome to Point of View. As Gugu walks out, we settle in tears because we're so happy to see her and they're really, really glad that she's back. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motene and thank you so much for staying with us. We've got lots coming up on the show, but I want to start here quickly because this story I think is very important. What is also very encouraging though is that the person that flagged it is actually an MEC in the Gauteng government. So I think it's good. It's good that we have internally their own, interrogate their own systems, and they're able to say, well, there's something funny here. We need to check it out. MEC for Agriculture and Rural Development in Gauteng, Vuyiswa Ramakgopa, has seen something bizarre about an arrangement of about 36 million rand to a company that is sort of the conduit between government and people on the ground. And it seems quite good on paper, except it is 36 million rand. And the question is why. MEC, thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Let's talk about this project. I'll call it a project. Maybe there's another fancier word for it. Is it a project? Or was it a tender?
It is a project for all intents and purposes. It forms, in fact, it's one of the department's flagship projects from the previous financial year, which is when it was initiated. And the intention behind the project was, to establish 16 container-style stores in various townships all around Gauteng, with the stated intention of, driving market access opportunities for small scale or backyard farmers, as well as also creating entrepreneurs and township entrepreneurship opportunities for people who were looking to operate their own micro retail outlet. So, as you've said, on paper, a very noble intention, but in practice, and when one actually got to analyzing this project and really looking at the numbers and the quantums of this project, there were a number of red flags, of which the costing thereof was one of the big ones.
Okay. So, as you said, it's quite noble to try and bring, access to market the produce by small farmers and so on. But there is one individual or a company that government was dealing with. What do we know about that particular company?
So the company in question, which is known as Farmyard, they would have been described as an aggregator. And so effectively what their role was to like you've said, the intermediary, the middleman essentially, between government and the beneficiaries of the containers. And part of their role would have been involved actually doing the installation of the containers, the procurement thereof, getting these people set up, getting them trained and ready to trade, and obviously performing also an ongoing project management function. Given that there is currently an internal investigation also currently underway, I don't want to prejudice the company excessively, but what I will say, and it's factual, is that they submitted their application to the provincial government, as well as and the project was also proposed to national government. It was approved, but of course when Ivan came into office in July and started to actually review not just this particular project, but many of them, all of them, you have to ask the tough questions. And where you're not getting clear answers, you have to probe. And that's now kind of what has come out of the woodwork, that we're looking at containers that are costed at 1.7 million rand a container. There are all kinds of other expenses that have been included in this project, which are very concerning. And furthermore, and I think this is really the kicker, is that when all is said and done, the beneficiaries themselves have not actually received any of the benefits or dividends. They are sitting with containers that they are not actually able to make a living out of. Many of them have been closed subsequently to their launch a couple months ago. And I think, since the story has actually broken, I'm now even receiving even more correspondence from people and beneficiaries all over who are saying, in fact, they didn't know what to say or who to talk to. But now these stories are coming out. And I think, you know, this just really further highlights the importance of just, you know, having the right people. And I'm not saying I'm an angel. I'm just saying having the right people performing executive oversight functions and being able to bring good governance, you know, it creates an avenue for the most vulnerable, the people who are actually, the people who are supposed to be benefited can now actually have an outlet for their grievances, which unfortunately they haven't had before.
MEC, let me just, and I understand the fact that you obviously don't want to prejudice this particular company. They've got to present themselves and obviously state their side of the story. But just give me a sense of how it would have worked. So they just pitched to government. It was not a call to tender. It was not a request by government. They came with a proposal and it was accepted.
Sure. No. So the project itself is funded through the Conditional Agricultural Support Program grant, which is a national government grant that is deployed through provincial government. And all provinces actually get a grant of some sort from national government to this effect.
Mm.
The process is then that we will then, as a province, advertise and call for proposals. And we'd obviously set the criteria in terms of what types of proposals we are looking for, which commodities we want to focus on, et cetera, et cetera. And so people will then submit proposals to that effect. So they would have gone through that process. And the proposal would have been assessed, and obviously it made it through. Of course, there's still work to be done to assess even that assessment process, because my worry is that, you know, how is it that through multiple rounds of vetting, this did not raise any flags, or seemingly didn't raise any alarms for anyone. So there's a question still that remains on my part as far as that's concerned. And I think that is really what the purpose of the investigation is.
And maybe as far as we understand how it would have operated, there's obviously the middleman, the aggregator, and then there are people on the ground. Would he have allowed them, do they rent the space? How would it technically would it have worked?
So how it would work is that obviously the aggregator is the company that we as government transact with. So they submit the proposal.
Yes.
It is then upon them to then go and the beneficiaries would come through that process. So they would then find target beneficiaries, do the placement, as I said, do the training, set up the stalls, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe also even an advertisement for beneficiaries to raise their hand to want to participate was also advertised.
Okay.
So it was really the administration, let me say, and the implementation thereof that sits with the service provider. And then what effectively then happens is once the beneficiaries have been selected and trained, then they would then receive their container stall with some contribution towards initial startup stock and also initial rental. And the period of rental was for 2 months. After that, the idea was that they are then supposed to rent or pay their own rent, and hopefully the business should be trading and be able to at least wash its own face.
They would pay the rent to the aggregator?
No, to the actual site where the
okay, the landlord
to the landlord of
that
the
owns
site.
The site. Okay,
that's
so, correct. So the aggregator in a way just sets them up and for the 2 months, and that's sort of where their relationship should end.
So remember, this is a multi-year project.
Yes,
so it's not that they kind of set them up and leave. There is a project administration component of the agreement, and they are supposed to, perform some ongoing project administration function, but also provide periodic
support
reports to the department through our internal project steering committee. And and we did receive reports a couple months ago, and the report actually didn't raise any concerns. It seemed like everything was all fine and well. But then, of course, then I received direct communication from some of the beneficiaries, and that is really what, indicated that something urgent had to be done. So from our side, and as I said, it's a multi-year project. So one of the key remedial actions that we've had to put in place right now is to suspend further funding to this project whilst we are doing a full review and a full assessment. And as I said, part of that review process involves, of course, getting a better understanding of, one, how we got here, two, engaging with the service providers themselves. Tomorrow, I will be engaging with some of the beneficiaries, and we're really looking to expedite this. This is not something that's going to take, the next 5 years to get to a conclusion. I've already also engaged with the Office of the Premier, because that is, should it need to go to the next level and should a forensic investigation need to be initiated, that would need to be driven out of the Premier's office, and correspondence with the SIU would have to happen. So all of these things are potential remedial actions, depending on what the internal investigation reveals. And I think this is, for us, it's really about sending a very strong message, not just to those internally within the department, but it's also to anyone who would want to engage or transact with the department going forward.
And how long had this project been around for?
Well, this is the second year. Okay. And I say second year because we speak obviously in financial
years.
Yes,
sure. Mm-hmm.
So it's the first year actually of its financial implementation, but the second financial year. So the first container actually would have gone up. They would have been erected around May, earlier on this year. So it's really only been a couple of months that they've been in operation. And as I'm saying, it's sad to see that even after a couple of months, you have a scenario where people have already closed their doors because they are not profitable and they're not making revenue.
And when the whistleblowers, and of course, these details will come to the fore, when the whistleblowers felt the need to reach out, what was it that they had... What was it because, the aggregator was no longer, supporting them? What were they basic things that they raised, or some flags that they raised that they thought you could assist with?
Yeah, so I mean, some of the issues that were raised are kind of what I've spoken to, which is that, they said, they haven't actually heard from the service provider since the date of sort of implementation. Mm. So they've been trying to contact the people, have not had any joy. This is exactly what was said to me, and that further to that, they're struggling, they feel very confused, not really understanding how they're supposed to proceed. They're struggling financially. Mm. As I said, some of them have even closed shop. Mm. And then there's a number of other operational challenges. I mean, there were some critiques around the fact that the department had committed to actually helping assist with stock. And I mean, as I'm saying, in principle, it's a great idea to create an outlet that's local, wherein community gardens and local backyard farmers can deposit their stock so that it can be sold, so that they can also earn an additional livelihood. But that wasn't happening. And so they were not getting any stock. They were, selling stock that is not of the best and highest quality. And I think that's then one thing leads to another. So really our view is that it's the prudent thing is let's put a pause on this program, on this project. Let's do a proper reassessment. And hopefully, and this is very important, is that we are still committed to wanting to support these beneficiaries. We are still committed to wanting to grow and support the township economy and micro retail in the township. But it has to be done, on a platform of good governance, and it has to be done with sound costings and service providers who are actually willing to deliver what's been promised.
What a pity on all fronts, hey? I mean, it really is a pity that what would have been quite a beneficial project to so many, as you said, has just failed right before their eyes. It's a pity all around. In fact, it's sad.
Yeah, it is. But I think that what this really reveals, certainly for me, is that we do have a systemic issue. We do have an issue of, you know, middlemen in public procurement. And government routinely is overcharged for services and for goods. And this is because we are feeding some other economy of middlemen that doesn't make sense. Now, you know, we are suffering from massive unemployment challenges in our country, and we should be focusing on really supporting bonus day entrepreneurs who are able to generate sustainable employment for the people of Gauteng. And unfortunately, too much is lost somewhere in the black hole of public procurement. We need to get a grip on that, and we need to be a far more efficient and lean machinery as government.
Appreciate your time. Gauteng MEC for Agriculture and Rural Development, Vuyiswa Ramakgoba.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.